Welcome to our site and welcome to one of the greatest events that we could ever celebrate, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. Our sermon today is entitled Ascension Glory. We read first of all in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24 and from verse 45. So do have your Bible handy and we begin in Luke chapter 24. Verse 45, and then we read in Acts chapter 1. So first of all, Luke chapter 24 from verse 45. Then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually in the temple, praising God. Then if you'll turn in your Bible to the Acts of the Apostles, and chapter 1. Here Luke the physician says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I read about all that Jesus began to do and teach." Important for us to understand that. All that Jesus began to do and teach. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us today as we think about the ascension glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Luke's history of Christian mission is given to us then in two parts. Part one, which we call the Gospel according to Luke, gives us the acts of the earthly Christ, Jesus, when he was on earth. Part 2, which we call the Acts of the Apostles, gives us the acts of the heavenly Christ, by his Spirit, at work within his body, the Church. It's important for us to realize that Part 2, as we have it in our Bibles, in the Acts of the Apostles, is an unfinished story. The story ends with Paul under house arrest in Rome, awaiting trial before Caesar. But the history of Jesus' mission, the acts of the heavenly Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, at work in the Church, is still being written. The story will only be closed when Jesus returns again to consummate this Church age and establish his eternal kingdom. Until then, we as believers, as followers of Christ, are all part of the history of Jesus' mission, the acts of the heavenly Christ through his Church, in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you well know, I'm sure, both the Lucan accounts of the history of Jesus' mission, the Gospel and Acts, are written to the same person, a Greek of high standing named Theophilus. Part 1, the Gospel, is an interesting document in its arrangement. It begins with an unfinished worship service in the temple, and ends with a continuing worship service. Luke opens his account with the story of Zechariah, priestly father-to-be of John the Baptist. When the old priest gets the news from the angel Gabriel that his aged wife will give birth to a famous son who will prepare the people of Israel for the Lord, Zechariah is dumbstruck, literally, and he has to pronounce the benediction in sign language. But the gospel ends with the disciples of Jesus staying continually in the temple, praising God. The two parts of Luke's history of mission are linked together by a double account of the ascension of our Lord. The gospel ends with the ascension. The book of Acts begins by repeating a more detailed account of the ascension of Jesus. So Luke is obviously at pains to underline this vital link in the history of Jesus' mission. When we understand the importance of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have discovered the key that unlocks the mystery of Jesus' redemptive mission. The ascension is essential to God's total plan of salvation. It is the vital link between the acts of the earthly Christ and the acts of the heavenly Christ. There are 5 crucial truths relating to the ascension that I'd like to share with you. First of all, the incarnation, God becoming flesh, taking upon himself our humanity in Jesus, would be incomplete without the ascension. Just as essential as the coming of the Son of God from heaven in the virgin birth is the return of the Son of God to heaven in the ascension. We cannot have one without the other. Both are essential to complete God's wonderful plan of redemption. Jesus not only came from heaven to earth, it was essential that he return from earth to heaven. Second, his ascension is essential to his sinless, perfect life on earth. What good would a sinless life be? Now, what good would a redeemed humanity be if that were not taken to heaven? In the ascension, Christ takes our redeemed humanity to glory. He becomes the first fruits of the redeemed of earth in heaven. He takes us with him to glory. He takes a truly, fully, perfect human life into the presence of God bodily. He presents his perfect life to the Father on our behalf. Without the ascension, that could not have been done. Thirdly, the ascension is essential to the eternal efficacy or significance of the death of the Lord Jesus. The finished work of the cross on earth is taken to heaven in the ascension. The body in which Jesus bore our sin, the precious blood that he shed for us on the cross, these are taken into the most holy place of the heavenly tabernacle, there to speak to us and for us eternally in the presence of God. Hebrews 9:12, he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Fourthly, the ascension is essential to the burial of Christ. In the Apostles' Creed, we say the statement that he was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. Jesus descended into hell. He conquered death and the grave. He set the righteous captives free from Sheol. He liberated them from Hades to paradise. He announced his total victory over Satan and sin and death for the redemption of mankind. He, as it were, took the keys of death and Hades from the devil, and by his death he destroyed the one who held the power of death in his hands, Hebrews 2:14 and 15. And in the book of Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, John the Revelator says, "When I saw him, that is Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for ever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Hallelujah. It was essential, then, that Jesus ascend to the heavenlies as the mighty conqueror, the one who was buried, and then in his spirit descended into Hades and triumphed over our enemies of Satan, sin, and death, and hell. Fifthly, the ascension was essential to the resurrection of Christ. In his risen body, Jesus appeared for 40 days on earth and taught his disciples the principles and precepts and promises of the kingdom of God. But that risen life had to be taken to heaven. The ascension was as important as the resurrection to complete the work of redemption and reconcile God to man and man to God. In other words, friends, the ascension was essential to all that preceded: the incarnation, the sinless life, the sacrificial death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But more than that, the ascension is essential to all that follows. Here are 7 points to take note of. First of all, his ascension was essential to his session, his coronation. Without Christ's re-entry into heaven, there could be no enthronement. The climax of the ascension was Jesus' session to the throne. The Lamb of God was crowned as the Lion of Judah, acclaimed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The ascension was essential to his enthronement. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight returns victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's crown, the victor's brow. Crown the Saviour, angels crown him. Rich the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power enthrone him, while the vault of heaven rings. Crown him, crown him, crown the Saviour, King of Kings. And what about Thomas Kelly's great hymn? The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. The highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and heaven's eternal light. Do you see it? His ascension was essential to his session, his coronation, his enthronement in glory at the Father's right hand. Secondly, his ascension was essential to our salvation. He didn't go to heaven alone, praise the Lord. He took us with him. The Christian is identified with Christ. The Christian shares an unbreakable union with Christ, not only in his death and burial and resurrection, but also in his ascension. Not only are we buried with him by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life, we have been raised up with him and made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. To put it another way, the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that our anchor is already behind the veil in the most holy presence of God in heaven. Why? Because that's where Christ is, and we are in Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's take a little help from one of Christopher Wordsworth's hymns this time. See the conqueror mounts in triumph. See the conqueror mounts in triumph. See the king in royal state, riding on the clouds his chariot to his heavenly palace gate. Hark the choirs of angel voices, joyful hallelujahs sing, and the portals high are lifted to receive the heavenly king. Who is this that comes in glory with the trump of jubilee? Lord of battles, God of armies, he has gained the victory. He who on the cross did suffer, he who from the grave arose, he has vanquished sin and Satan. He by death has spoiled his foes. He has raised our human nature. Get this. He has raised our human nature in the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places. There with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. Thirdly, his ascension is essential to his intercession. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, if you'd like to find it in your Bible, Hebrews 7, verse 24 and 25, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. What a wonderful reality. Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. The ascension is essential to his intercession at the right hand of God. He ever lives above for me to intercede, for all his redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for all our race and sprinkles now the throne of grace. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me, I am born of God. His ascension is essential to his high priesthood. Jesus, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer gives us that wonderful invitation. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 14, if you want to turn to it. Therefore, he says, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank the Lord that through the ascension we have an intercessor at the right hand of God pleading for us on the basis of his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross. We have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and we have a high priest who is touched with all the feeling of our afflictions and our infirmities. Fifthly, the ascension of the Lord Jesus is essential to his preparation for our eternal home. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. Our friend, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and Jesus is doing the preparing right now. Without the ascension, that would not have been possible. Frances Ridley Havergal wrote in her hymn, His bright home preparing, faithful ones, for you. Samuel Medley, he lives my mansion to prepare, he lives to lead me safely there. The ascension is essential to the preparation of our eternal home. And then sixth, the ascension of Jesus is essential to our being equipped for our mission. Without the ascension of Jesus, there could be no Pentecost. And without Pentecost, there would be no power. No power to our proclamation and no tools for our mission. It is to your advantage, Jesus says, that I go away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. All that the Holy Spirit is and does in the life of the church could not have been fulfilled without the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Ascended to the throne on high, the work of redemption complete, the Son of God could receive from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and pour him out, as it were, upon the church, the redeemed community. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, says Jesus, and you shall be my witnesses from where you stay to the ends of the earth. Finally, the ascension of Jesus is essential to his return in glory. Unless he returned to heaven at the commencement of the church age, he could not return from heaven at the consummation of the church age. The ascension of Jesus is essential to his second coming. The angel said to the disciples, Acts 1:11, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Caroline Noel, in her hymn, At the Name of Jesus, Brothers, this Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory, with his angel train, for all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him, King of glory now. Charles Wesley again. Rejoice in glorious hope. Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear the archangel's voice. The trump of God shall sound. Rejoice. Do you see how vital the ascension of Jesus is? It is the ascension that gives significance to the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on earth. And because of the ascension, we can rejoice today, every moment of every day, in Christ's session to the throne, our position with him in heavenly places, his mediation and intercession for us at God's right hand, his sympathetic and understanding high priesthood, his preparation of our eternal home, and the Holy Spirit's equipping for our mission, and the guarantee of his return in glory. All his work is ended. Joyfully we sing, Jesus has ascended. Glory to our King. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, how we thank you that as followers of Jesus, we can celebrate the glorious reality of his ascension. We thank you for all that the ascension of Jesus means in the plan of your eternal salvation. And we praise you, our Father, that at this very moment we have in Jesus, at the Father's right hand, the mediator between God and man, between man and God. We thank you that at this very moment we have in Jesus, at the Father's right hand, a sympathetic, understanding high priest, one who ever lives to pray for us. And we thank you that we have in Jesus at the Father's right hand, this moment and every moment until he returns, one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we thank you, dear Lord, that through the ascension, Jesus is preparing a place in glory for every single one of his saints. Thank you for those who have already ascended to be with Christ in the Spirit, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is better by far. And thank you for the church militant on earth. Thank you, dear Lord, that we are part of the body of Christ, and that because of the ascension of Jesus, we are equipped with the Holy Spirit's power and anointing, his gifting and his enabling, so that we can grow to know Christ and to make him known. And so we pray, our Father, that as we celebrate the ascension of Jesus, we may submit ourselves totally to the Holy Spirit of Jesus, that in all his grace and power and fullness, he may live in us and through us, that the life of Christ may be manifested in us day by day. Make us a blessing, we pray. And grant, Heavenly Father, that we may never lose the sense, the joy, the reality of knowing that we have been raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places. To God be all the glory. We pray today for those in particular need. Once again, Lord, we pray as we celebrate the ascension. In the strong name of Jesus, we bring before you those who have been affected or infected by the coronavirus. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, that you'd comfort them. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are suffering, those who are in anguish at this very moment, that you would strengthen them. And we pray for the whole Church of Jesus around the earth, and ask, dear Father, that we may be a light that shines in the present darkness, and that we may be salt that stops the rot spreading. Grant our Father, that we may glorify you as we commit our lives to you this day. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the comfort and counsel of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Christ triumphed.